pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Second half of the show live, and it's been a good one so far. Nothing is going to change with our next guest. Ralph Russo covers college football for the Associated Press. A couple of big issues. We'll talk about actually on the field issues in a moment. But first, Ralph, as we say hello to you, thanks for the time. The battles in and out of court that many believe hold the future of the great game in the balance. Good afternoon. Tell us what's happening right now and where are we going this summer with the NCAA and the House case.
Yeah, I think where we're going is trying to avoid, it's not where we're going, where we're trying to avoid going, or why they're trying to avoid going, and that is actually to court. You know, you've obviously seen all the reports about the settlement that's being talked about, and the settlement, you know, that could reach, you know, about $3 billion almost in damages. And the idea is not just to settle these cases, and it's going to be more than just a House is sort of the headliner here, but the idea is to wrap up a settlement that could get a couple, two or three of these antitrust cases, about three of these antitrust cases off the board. And not only to sort of deal with the damages, but also to set up a framework for what college sports will look like going forward, which will have something that looks like revenue sharing, which will have, another 20 million or so from each Power Five school being directed towards athletes. And that means all athletes. I think the interesting part about this, Paul, is how you spend those dollars on your campus. There's going to be certain leeway there, certain amount of leeway. And again, not all the details have been worked out yet, that are going to force some of these schools to make some choices. I think everybody's going to choose to fund football hard and to go all in on football because that's the sport that makes the most money. I think beyond those other sports, there's going to be some interesting choices being made about what sports we compete in and what sports maybe we compete for championships in. You know, where do we just have a team and where do we have a team that we think is going to be a serious team?
Realizing you're guessing here, but it's not like you're just spitballing and you talk to people every day. Ralph, what's likely to be cut in this new world order?
So I don't know if we want to immediately go to the idea of cuts as much as think of it as reallocation. Think of it as places where, hey, we've been spending a lot of money in this area because we were told we had to, or because we didn't have this expense of paying players. So now we're going to move some things around the board as far as what sports are funded. So we're still going to fund some of these Olympic sports. But you know what? Maybe we don't need a $10 million baseball season, stadium and an $8 million softball stadium. Maybe what we have is good enough in some of those sports. I think facilities, even in football, frankly, will probably get cut back a little bit. Not that you're going to tear down the building you have, but I don't think you're going to be as quick to upgate that locker room as opposed to just giving the player the money, right? So I think there's that. I also think it'll be interesting to see what happens in staffing in general, whether maybe you end up, instead of 9 analysts, you may end up with only 5 or 6 or 3 or 4. And maybe some of the staffs on, again, some of these other teams, instead of a second tennis coach, maybe we'll make do with 1 and a part-time.
Fascinating. Talking to Ralph Russo. Okay, Ralph, that's off the field. Let's get on the field. You've looked around college football, and this is really what we mainly care about. I don't want to act like the other stuff isn't important. It is, but I'm sick of it. I know you are, too. What about the spring? What have you learned? What do you like? What don't you like?
What I don't like is that new spring is not new. It's a couple of years old, but the spring portal, I think more and more there was some very interesting movement. Miami certainly did really well in the spring portal. I don't think we had as many eye-catching names because that's just the nature of things, right? I mean, like mostly quarterbacks and guys who score touchdowns are the people who get most of our attention. There was not a lot of those players in the portal. And Miami did a really nice job of Damian Martinez and Sam Brown, the receiver from Houston. So I think they loaded up in a way that is probably somewhat significant. It was interesting to see how there seemed to be a meeting. Maybe it was among agents or something. Let's get all the defensive tackles that we can into the portal. Clearly, it was identified as a position of need. And the folks who now represent some of these players seem to think that, hey, if we can get out there, maybe we can get our guys some better deals, because don't we always need defensive tackles? So it was interesting to see some of those players move around. Maybe not potential All-Americans, but definitely solid players. Talk about that. You know, Miami grabbed another one of those, a kid from Michigan State named Barrow, who should be a good player. So I think Miami's movement in the portal, I think the lack of quarterback movement, like significant quarterback movement, I think a lot of people penciled in Ohio State to maybe lose somebody to the portal. That didn't happen. And when you see some of these quarterback battles play out, the fact that there were few guys saying, hey, I'm out of here, I didn't win the job, jumping in, I think that was somewhat significant. And I'll throw in this one for the SEC fans. You know, I think Auburn staying pat in the portal as far as its quarterback situation was interesting, especially in light of what we just heard Hugh Freeze say about not really being prepared to spend $1 million for a transfer quarterback this spring.
I want to get your read on Ohio State, because everyone knows what they did in the portal. We know why they did it, but they have to have a payoff. And it starts with beating Michigan, but it's even beyond that. Your assessment of Ryan Day is he catches flack. He won the offseason, but he certainly didn't win the season.
Yeah, winning the offseason can only get you so far in Columbus. It certainly helped after what happened. We lose to Michigan for a third straight year. You're right. They didn't go heavy shopping in the portal, but what they got, you know, when you talk about Coach Prime, you know, I'm bringing my luggage and it's Louis. Ohio State really did get the Louis out of the portal. I mean, Caleb Downs and Quinshon Judkins are tremendous players, and a few others to add, Will Howard. But you're right. I mean, it is such a pivotal and interesting year at Ohio State. I think the idea of firing a coach who wins almost 90% of his game sounds incredible and hard to imagine, but that's the world of college football, especially in Ohio State. I think beating Michigan is a must this year, and considering Michigan is likely going to be down from what it's been the last couple of years, and you have that game at home with all that you loaded up on, I almost can't imagine what it would be like in Columbus if they were to lose again. I think the question is good beyond that. Like, do you just have to beat Michigan and make the playoff and, okay, we're good? I think that's probably where the bar is set. But they are set up to make a national championship run, and I think George is going to have a say in that. But I do think sort of like the absolute minimum is you better beat Michigan this year, Ryan.
I'm sorry if that sounds like a low bar to me, considering this is Ohio State, and I realize Michigan has just come off its best run in a century, but still, don't you have to win a championship at some point?
So, I think you do. I think that's a slightly different conversation. The Ohio State Michigan game is something of like an existential crisis, right? When that thing is not going right for whichever team it is, you live in hell. Jim Harbaugh got dragged into it for a while. Ryan Day is living in it now. That's almost like a separate deal. When you talk about winning a national championship, it's not less important than the rivalry, but I can see a world where Ohio State fans can say, okay, we got to a semifinal, we got to the final. Maybe it didn't work out against Georgia, but we went 14-1 or something along those lines, and we're back to being we're okay with this. Like, we can kind of live with this, as opposed to, you know, the other thing, Paul, is they're so good. Even though the schedule, within the conference is pretty tricky. They got a big matchup at Oregon in the middle of the season. Like, it's almost hard to contemplate a world in which Ohio State doesn't go around 11-1, head to the playoff with a bye, and then, or 12-1, head to the playoff with a bye, and then we're talking about where the chips may fall from there. The last thing I would say on that, it also sort of is an example of, we're heading into a new world of how do we judge success in this new realignment, mega SEC, mega Big Ten, 12-team playoff. Like, I think we're all going to wrap our heads around, like, what the old measurements for success, I think, are going to be out the window. And I think it may take fans a couple of years to adjust to that.
Before you go, we've had a big conversation earlier today about Brian Kelly's reactive statement to what he was asked by a local reporter. He just didn't show up and say we're not in the market to buy players or all that. He was asked specifically. He gave an answer that has shot around college football. Your reaction to it, and does it really matter? I know we're making a big deal about it, but I ask you because you're at the head of the food chain.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure it really matters, but here's, I think, what matters most to me when it comes to things like this and Brian Kelly. He is cast as a villain in college football. I don't think he necessarily cares, and I don't necessarily think he wanted this, but for whatever reason, I would be the first one to defend Brian Kelly as a coach. I think he is a really, really good football coach and has been for a long time. But, man, people like to jump on Brian Kelly and the things he says, and sometimes he puts his foot in his mouth. Sometimes he absolutely deserves it. He doesn't communicate as well maybe the message that he wants out there, so he will occasionally step in it. But people really like to dislike Brian Kelly, so anytime he steps outside the line, there's always going to be a line around the block ready to jump on him. And that's my big takeaway from that. This is just another example of, for some reason, people don't really like Brian Kelly.
Yeah, and I don't know. Well, by the way, I used to not like him either, so I shouldn't ask you to explain. I do find him more likable now. And before somebody says that, well, that's only because he's in the SEC. I just think he's, those early days at Notre Dame, I mean, I felt like he was very stern and made some really boneheaded decisions. And his teams, you tell me. I mean, he was teetering close to the Mendoza line, wasn't he?
So I think the part of the problem, though, is, like, he was the coach at a team that everybody kind of loves to hate. He was not a warm and fuzzy personality in general coaching that team. He had a camera on him literally every week, from a major network seeing his blow-ups. And frankly, like, I don't think I'm out of turn here to say, like, Brian thinks he's pretty good. Like, so I don't know if he comes across as the most humble guy. So when you're the coach at Notre Dame, I think you're, like, the general reaction is you might not be liked simply because you're the coach at Notre Dame. And him not being the one, listen, I don't even think a lot of Notre Dame fans had a hard time. A lot of Notre Dame fans had a hard time warming up to Brian Kelly, even as he was winning 10 games every year for Notre Dame. So, I've always got along with BK. And I think he's a really good coach. But yes, I think there's just something about the combination of, seeing him all the time, his explosive personality at that moment, the tendency to put your foot in the mouth, in your mouth. And the fact that he is pretty confident in his own abilities, that just adds up to a guy that a lot of people like to root against. I shouldn't say a lot of people like to hate, but a lot of people like to root against.
Well said. Always, always interesting with Ralph Russo of the AP. We'll take a break. More to come. Plenty of time for your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And welcome back on a Thursday afternoon. Let's check in with Steve in Oklahoma.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Very well. Thanks a lot.
Well, I just wanted to add a little bit here. I think it's incredibly naive of the LSU fan base and condescending of Brian Kelly to make those comments, some of the comments that they've made and he's made. You know, they got beat for two defensive tackles, which is a position of need for them. They got beat by Miami and Oklahoma, and they wanted both players, and they didn't get them. And to tell us that they're not in the business of buying players in today's landscape of college football, you know, all we've heard as Oklahoma fans for the last year is it just means more and that we're not ready. Well, you know what? Maybe we are ready. Maybe we're a little bit more ready than everybody wants to admit. And you got beat for a player that you needed. And we're not going to apologize to anybody. Everybody calls us Broklahoma. But you know what? Our athletic department, we're doing pretty darn good. The university is struggling financially. But the athletic department, yeah, they do just fine. And guess what? We're about to get the SEC money, too. So we're tired of hearing it. We're ready to play some ball. We got a hard schedule. We're not afraid of anybody. We're coming in eyes wide open. And you know what? Maybe there's some SEC people that need to open their eyes, too, and realize that we're Oklahoma. We're coming to play. And we're not afraid of anybody. We're not Arkansas. We're not Missouri. We're not Kentucky or South Carolina or Mississippi State or even Auburn or Ole Miss or some of these other teams. Sorry about you. The only teams in the SEC that can really poke their chest out are Alabama, Georgia, and LSU sometimes. But they're certainly not poking their chest out right now. They sound really, really naive with regards to how college football is right now. And it's just it's nauseating to listen to some of these callers and to listen to Brian Kelly. You know what? There's a reason people don't like Brian Kelly. It's because he says stupid stuff like that, and he acts like we're not smart enough to understand what's going on. And that's it. That's the deal. I mean, it's just exhausting listening to this nonsense. I thought he just meant more. I thought this is the SEC, right?
Wow, Steve, what a great call. And I agree with you. I was out there recently, and Oklahoma's not afraid of anybody. I don't know where that narrative started. Actually, I think I do know. It started in a conversation we had with a reporter out there who said that there was some trepidation about a year ago, and I didn't sense it. And I was everywhere.
I promise you, Paul. I promise you, that's from a very, very small percentage of this fan base. This fan base is proud. We've got 7 national championships. We've been involved in a whole lot more since then that we haven't gotten the job done. You think we don't know that? We're not naive. We know we've come up short. We know we've come up short. Is Brent Venables the guy? Gosh, I hope so. Maybe not, though. But I promise you this. If you look at the history of college football, one program above almost any other that will not stand for mediocrity or losing is Oklahoma. Every decade other than the 90s, we've been one of the best programs in the history of this sport. And if you overlook us, do it at your own peril. We will not back down. If we don't win, we're going to find out a way to do it the next time we come and play you.
Well said. Call us again. Thank you very much, Steve. That is very that's a very representative call of what I detected out there 2.5 weeks ago. Anyway, if you want to give us a ring, you can do so now. The number is 855-242-7285. We're here for another hour and 35 minutes. Lee is in Cincinnati.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. And
thank
I've actually
you.
Got two questions I want to ask you, both of them regarding the Florida Gators. The first one is, do you think that that Mike Griffin was really serious when he said about Florida possibly winning five out of their first six games, because that's a pretty tough schedule.
Oh, I think I think five is. I'm trying to. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I know there's Miami, Tennessee's in there.
There's Miami, Stanford, UCF.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about those three teams. Well, Stanford, they should be.
I think five.
UCF, I'm not sure about. Tennessee is one.
I think five is realistic only because I think there's a sense. Now, by the way, this sense doesn't exactly mesh with some of what I'm hearing, but I think there's a sense that Miami is being considered a win. And when I look at that schedule, here it is. Miami, A&M at home, UCF at home, Samford, Florida at Mississippi State, and Tennessee. I mean, I see one definite loss, and that's the only one I can say is definite, and that would be at Tennessee.
Okay, so you think they really have a good chance against A&M and even UCF?
Oh, yeah. I mean, A&M at home, I think, is a win. UCF doesn't scare me. Mississippi State, I mean, those are not the most challenging opponents, and I think it comes down to the Miami game. If Florida loses to Miami, then the pressure and the oxygen is going to be hard to find.
Well, okay, and riding off of that, because that'll mean that, let's face it, the Napier's job is kind of on the line.
Yeah, and the reason why we're only talking about the first half of the season, because the second half of the season is virtually impossible.
It is a gauntlet, yeah, beyond any shadow of a doubt. And so I want to ask you about this also, though. If Napier has begun, what about Scott Strickland? Because let's look at the way, I mean, can we get somebody like Greg Byrne or another Jeremy Foley?
Well, see, I mean, talking about athletic directors is always interesting and difficult for me, because the relationships with the athletic director often depends on the fan base, the boosters, and most important, the president. Florida has a relatively new president, Ben Sass. I don't know the relationship he has. He's very different than any other president we've seen in a long time. He comes from politics. He was a U.S. senator.
Oh, no, I totally agree with you about that. But I guess what I'm asking is, if Napier's got to go, do you think that they need to think about getting another athletic director? Somebody.
Well, here's what it always comes down to, and you, Lee, they always say, okay, how did you get Napier, and who was before him? And then you draw a direct line to the person that made those hires. I've always liked and respected Strickland, but you at some point you're only as good as your football coach.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why football and with Jeremy Foley, once again, he was great with football and basketball. That's the only reason I brought him up.
But yeah, and basketball is important, but it's far less important than it was back then.
That's very true. And I'm just hoping that Florida actually can have a winning season this year. But like you said, the second half is a gauntlet. I mean, if you're a true football fan, which I am.
But, you know, what the guy just said about Oklahoma, though, I used to hear people talk like that from Florida, and I haven't heard much of that lately. There's no excuse for Florida not to be top-notch in college football. It's absurd for them to say, well, can we win seven games? I mean, I wouldn't tolerate that as a fan, and I'm not a fan. I'm just a commentator. Quick break. You want to give us a ring? We got plenty of time. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And legend is next.
Got it from the rooftop. Ride it on the skyline. The four-time firebomb heavyweight champion is in the house, baby. And Paul, it's rolling, baby. It's rolling. Spank it. Spank it. Man, I like Steve from Oklahoma. How about you, Paul? I like that dude.
He had some fire.
Man, that's a black hat. A black hat for you, Steve. Don't them Cowboys out there in Oklahoma. Who's saying Oklahoma's afraid, Paul? Who's telling that lie? Who's talking that trash?
Good question.
Man, I tell you who ought to be afraid, Paul. That's Auburn, South Carolina, Missouri, Arkansas. That's who should be afraid. Don't you agree? Oklahoma and Texas knocks all them teams back too.
No, you're right. And if you look at a pecking order, they and Texas moved ahead of a lot of programs.
A lot of programs. A lot of programs. Man, Oklahoma's a blue blood. Texas is a blue blood. Man. Now we ain't got no fear in Alabama, but we respect both programs. I've always looked at Oklahoma as Alabama of the Midwest, man. I've always loved Oklahoma, man. Bosworth? Hell yeah. That's football there. Oklahoma ain't afraid of nobody. I tell you, but who better be afraid? You better be afraid of them, Auburn, Mississippi State, Missouri, Arkansas, Vandy. They going to whoop all y'all's asses. Y'all get ready. Texas, too. Let me say this. Alabama been told this conference for years. He said something good, and Georgia finally woke the hell up and started helping us tote it here a few years ago and became a monster themselves. But there ain't a whole lot of teams to be afraid of, Paul. That's a lie. That's been one of the biggest lies. I love the SEC. That's one of the biggest lies ever told about this conference. Ain't nobody afraid of Auburn. Ain't nobody afraid of Mississippi State. If Mississippi State goes to Indiana, there ain't nobody down there shaking in their shoes talking about the SEC coming to town. Come on, man. Wake the hell up. It's rolling, baby. It's rolling. Hell of a call, Steve. I agree with you, brother. I'm glad you're in the league. I love Oklahoma. I'm glad y'all in the league. Y'all a true SEC team. Hell, we kick somebody out and let y'all in for real. Let me say this, Paul. I heard a little fear in Mike Griffin's voice today. Did you hear that? You hear that little fear there?
I did. I originally thought maybe he was just trying to subterfuge, but no, it sounded like fear.
Yeah, Jalen Melrose, baby. Jam Miller, Justice Haynes. I said it a long time ago, Griff. That's as good as any backfield in the nation. I take that backfield right there over anybody in the nation, Fred Flintstone. Now you just coming to that conclusion. That's just dawning on you now that Alabama roster is still pretty damn good. And you got to go down there in September. And you've been talking all that trash. Now I hear all the media people talking. They head and shoulders above everybody, ladies and gentlemen, everybody. But they 1-5 every time they play us because we regularly beat that ass. But they head and shoulders above the rest of y'all, head and shoulders. But now he did say one thing that I really like. He said that Coach DeBoer is probably a better coach for Jalen Melrose than Coach Saban was. You agree with that?
Well, I think it's because Saban, for all of his brilliance, fell in love with the wrong guy as offensive coordinator.
Yeah, he just started hiring anybody. I could have got a job down there.
I saw him yesterday, and he looks good, by the way, at Legend. It's just that, you know, we've already litigated Pete Golding. We don't need to talk about that anymore. But, you know, his flyer on Baby Reese – I'm sorry, Tommy Reese. I never understood that.
I want to say it. An epic failure.
It was.
Go ahead, Paul. Go ahead.
I'm done. I had my line.
Baby Reese. the Reese Cup. We had confidence. We had confidence in the Reese Cup. That stuff melted all over my head. Got all down in my damn pants. All over the place.
Hey, by the way, if Saban, I got one more thing to say.
Go ahead.
If Saban hadn't interfered with Baby Reese, the season would have gone down the drain that day at Tampa.
That's true. That's true. That's true. He kind of lost his mind there. You know, what happens though when you coach at Alabama, though? That's a fact. That's a fact. And Paul, let me say this before I get out of here. Did I not say to you when LSU hired Brian Kelly that in 4 years he'd be at Western Michigan? Did I not tell you that?
You said that.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Here we go, Brian Kelly. Here comes the excuses. Here comes the excuses. Everybody in the country knows y'all don't have the two defensive tackles down there. Here comes the excuses. In year three, LSU fans, I told you this guy was a fraud. I told you he was a good coach, not a great coach, but a complete fraud, convincing LSU that he could take y'all to a national championship. Y'all wasting y'all's damn time. Talking about we don't buy a team. Well, wake the hell up, because this is the new generation, baby. And if you're going to get a defensive tackle, you're going to pay for him. If you're going to get a second defensive tackle, you're going to pay for him too, Jughead. So either wake up, catch up with the times, start getting some money from all them hillbillies down there in Baton Rouge and buy you some players, or shut the hell up and catch the next train to Western Michigan because you are a damn fraud. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the four-time champ has left the building.
Abe is up next in Baton Rouge.
Well, now to retort to legend first. When you get to the end of the season and you're out on a ledge because you figured out your new coach is nothing but Ray Perkins 2.0, I'm not going to be underneath it holding the place for you to jump and get a soft landing. Paul, as far as all this criticism of Brian Kelly, what you alluded to a couple of times is true. If you listen to the whole interview, the man was just talking about the fact that he's not going to create a locker room problem that's turned into a cancer in a heartbeat by overpaying two players that haven't got the skins yet to prove they're worth it. Those guys wanted more than what we were paying anybody but one player. And as far as that goes, I trust them on evaluating, but especially Bo Davis and Kelly himself, on evaluating who's worth what money. We're doing just fine on who we're paying. And as far as the guys from Oklahoma and Texas go, I remember what Spurrier said a couple of years ago, right after they announced them coming to the league, trying to explain it to one of the former coaches, which is, Coach, it ain't that you play in the Big 12, you play some good teams, because you do, but it's exactly the opposite of what the guy was just talking about. It's having to go to Mississippi State and Arkansas and South Carolina, and also playing LSU and Texas A&M and Alabama and Florida. So you may not be scared, and you got a great history. But if you think you're walking into what you've been playing in the Big 12 and before that the Big 8 and the Southwest Conference, you've got a lot to learn. Can't be really, really proud of you coming in, seeing us in Tiger Stadium at the end of the season. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much. Bob is in Fort Worth. Hey, Bob.
Afternoon, Paul.
Great to talk to you.
Hey, I need you to explain something to me. I just heard you made a comment that Florida was a definite win over A&M. I need you to explain your thinking on that to me.
Well, I just think it's early in the season for A&M and the game's at Florida, so I just favor Florida in that game. It's not a matter of where A&M will be. I just think that's very early in the season for a new coaching staff.
Alabama don't have a new coaching staff?
Alabama does have a new coaching staff, but they have a lot deeper roster than A&M.
Huh. Okay. Well, I think Mike's going to do a bang up job down there. He wasn't my first choice. I like the young man out of San Antonio.
I did too, by the way.
but he's been there, and he's a hell of a defensive coach, and
Bob, I just think this is a program, and by the middle to the end of the season, I'm in agreement with a couple of people that A&M has a chance to be a top 20 team, maybe even higher. But I just think early in that setting, I like to get. Listen, I'm giving you an opinion on May 9th. Subject to change.
I understand that. I heard you say that, and I thought, well, that's a hell of a thing to say.
Well, but Bob, one thing I try not to do, I try not to say, well, that game's too close to call. I look at it and go, okay, that's what I like today. Probably not based on a lot, but that's what we're doing this early in the year. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
And we are back, and Jim is calling next. Good afternoon, Jim.
Hey, what's going on, Mr. Feinbaum? How's the world treating you today?
Very well, thank you.
Good deal. I got a couple things I wanted to say. I've been a big fan of yours, man, ever since you've been down in the Mobile Press Register. You used to write for them.
Oh, thank you.
You used to have a call-in line. We used to call it in, and we got excited whenever you used to print our little quotes.
I remember that very well.
Yeah, and Legend's your boy and everything, but he ain't real smart, is he?
Well,
he's sitting there talking about, you know, everybody needs to be scared of this and that. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe Oklahoma in the series against Alabama has the lead, right?
I know they won the last two.
Let me
correct myself. LSU. Actually, Alabama won the last game, which was played, I think, in what year was it? When Tua and Kyler played, I think it was 18? I think it was 18, yeah, in the Orange Bowl. And then Oklahoma had won the last two regular season games.
Yeah, that's what I said. I think on the heads up, I think they own, you know, they're ahead of Alabama.
Okay, well, but, maybe they are.
You know, I mean, he's saying all that. That coach y'all got now, I mean, I'm not too excited about our coach. Yeah, he's probably right about him. But I just don't see that coach coming down here and doing that great. He don't have that SEC mentality.
Well, how do we know that?
I don't yet. You know, I mean, I just don't think he's going to fit in good. I was kind of, you know, iffy about Coach Kelly. And, you know, I'll be the first one to admit it. He's probably a 10-win, 11-win season coach. That's it.
Well,
you know.
Well, hey, I appreciate your call very much. Jack is up next. Hey, Jack.
Hey, Paypal. I'm sorry, I'm lost today. That last call, you win 10, 11 games, you're doing damn pretty good. But what I called for, I'm sorry, Paul, that I know yesterday you was in Birmingham. Now, tell the truth, Paul. You went to Birmingham for one reason, to find a home assistant or a nurse at home, or Jim, or Tuscaloosa. You can tell us.
No, that's not it.
Yeah, Paul, you were there for that reason. You know, the Black Hat Commission, y'all met there yesterday to decide the way you put Jim at. Because, Paul, if one for page 54 of Quirrell, you know, Johnny B, he wouldn't have a life to talk about. and your best caller is legend now. But I miss Charles O'Neill.
I completely deny that.
I do that, buddy. I'm gonna get off, but I love the show. And you have
well, hey,
you
thank
and Randy.
You very much for the call.
You have a blessed day.
You be well. You take care of yourself. Let's check in next with who we got next. Shane up next. Hey, Shane.
Hey, what's up, Paul? How you doing, man?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Got a question for you. Nate Oates, would you consider him more of a Nick Saban-type disciplinary coach or like a laid-back atmosphere coach?
I don't think he's laid back. He's a very intense coach, but yeah.
Would be more Saban-esque type coach.
I think that would be he's not that intense, but he's pretty intense.
Well, my concern, because here's what I'm hearing about DeBoer a lot, is, oh, he's laid back. He's letting everybody kind of do their own thing. And I just don't think that's the only thing that concerns me.
Well,
I mean,
what I hear about DeBoer is the players love him. And even talking to DeBoer yesterday, that we'll play that tomorrow, he's very much into relationships. Now, that doesn't always translate to success. Shane, thanks for the call. We're up against a break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.